11 and 12, the Bible says the flesh is corrupted its way on earth. You will always be corrupted. And wherever you are deployed by God, the flesh will corrupt whatever that God wants you to conquer. And your way to conquering will be hindered by that life. So get rid of anything that is strange in heaven. Get rid of whatever that does not please the kingdom of God. Get rid of whatever makes you not to be able to carry the seed of God to the gates. This morning, may God help us. Because in Romans chapter 12, God says, present your body as a living sacrifice. In other words, it is not up to us to conquer the gates. It is up to us to render our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and blameless. The Bible says this body is not for fornication, but it is for the Lord. The body is not for sin. It is for the Lord. Every young person who is prepared to take Christ to the gates so that the gates can be lifted, so that the King of Kings can come in, that young people, that young person will have prepared himself. He would have presented his body. He would have got rid of whatever would hinder Christ in himself. He would be presenting himself as a living sacrifice, holy and blameless. And the Bible says this is a reasonable service that we may gather. I am gathering that as God is ready, as gates are waiting, what is necessary today is a body to carry the seed. It is a body that has been prepared. It is a body that has been emptied of sin and sinfulness. It is a body that has been emptied of the world system. It is a body that is able to serve Christ, to carry Christ to the gates. And as God receives that body, God is able to open every gate, is able to conquer the seed, that the incorruptible seed may be able to prosper, because the body has no corruption of the flesh life. That seed is able to multiply because the corruption, what corrupts the world system, has been removed. Remember we read we quoted Genesis chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. Maybe we can go back to it. But what it says there, it says the flesh has corrupted its way throughout the world. So the corrupter we must get rid of. Once this body is what is without the corrupter of the world, the incorruptible seed will prosper. Jesus will prosper because there will be no hindrance. There will be nothing that hinders him. As long as the corrupter is operational in our lives, we are not ready. The gates are waiting. And it is very true, the gates are waiting. Everybody is waiting for the revelations of the sons of God. But the sons of God cannot be revealed if they are covered in sin and sinfulness. The sons of God cannot emerge except what covers them. The veil that keeps them in darkness has been torn apart. God has given us his son. And when he was in the cross, he said, "It is finished." The veil that covers us from the presence of God, who is the eternal light, was torn. But that veil must be torn in our lives as well. We must be able to present our bodies holy and blameless. We must be able to focus on what God is interested in, so that ultimately we may be able to present the incorruptible seed to every gate that God is taking us to. I'm looking at the man like Paul in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, when he says, "For me to live, it is Christ, and to die is gain." In Colossians chapter 3, verse 4, Paul says, let's go there. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. He says, when Christ, who is our life, Christ is our life, shall appear finished. I say, what else am I living for? Christ is my life. To me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If every young person that God has called him can be able to stand up and say, I am living for Jesus. I am carrying the incorruptible seed to whatever gate, so that it can prosper, so that it can take over. I believe that the Lord, as God has said yesterday, he is ready. And as God has said yesterday, it is the life of Christ that will conquer. It is not our own. It is not our own. It is when we carry him to the gates. It is when we are empty and we are full of him. It is when we are shaped to be the pillars of the palace. When we have got rid of all vanity, that God will conquer. Today, as God is taking us, and as God is progressing with us, may we as young people know that as God is going to the gates, in Romans chapter 5, verse 17, it says, we, because now Christ, the one, has died for us, we shall reign with him. We shall reign with him. So it is following Christ to the gate. It is carrying him to the gate. It is to allow him to reign and rule in our own lives first. And then we take him to the gates. If Christ has not conquered your life, if Christ has not conquered where you are, you cannot take him anywhere. It is so sad, because I believe that as a young person, if you cannot conquer at the youth, it is unlikely that you will conquer in your life of adulthood. And if Christ cannot reign in your personal life, Christ cannot reign with you in any gate. It is your own personal life that Christ must reign and rule. And it is that life that is reigned put by Christ. We must take Christ to the gate. So I feel that if I say, for me to live, it is Christ, and to die is gain. If I say, Christ is my own life, therefore this life, which is which carries Christ, is the one that will conquer. It is the one that will be able to multiply. And as it multiplies, that incorruptible seed will conquer everything that is against the kingdom of God. So as we're going to pray, I would like us as young people to look at our lives. What could be the hindrance? What could make Christ not to be your life? What could make Christ that seed, that incorruptible seed that we have been given, not to multiply in your environment? What hinders you not to be planted? What hinders you not to be a pillar of truth wherever you are? It is at this moment that we must know that it is very, very important that we must get rid. That is a strange character. That is a strange behavior. That is what God says, get rid of. Get rid of that. God does not deal with strangers. He deals with the sons and daughters. He said, you will be my sons and daughters if you yourself, you get rid of this. You don't touch anything that is unclean. Then I will accept you and you'll be my sons and daughters. It is those sons and daughters who have got rid of the world system, who have got rid of the sinful life, who have got rid of the vanities of this life, whom God will march to conquer every gate. He will march and conquer everything. The Bible says in Psalms 24, who can ascend? I think it's in verse 3. Who can ascend to the hill of the Lord? Only those with clean hands. So the gates are people who do their heart into deceit. He who had clean hands and pure heart. We as young people who do not swear unto vanity. As young people, may God help us. Before he can take us to the gates, he must take him. He must take us to his bosom. He must take us to his character. He must take us to his conduct, his ways of life. He must transform us. So that as he takes us to the gates, we'll be transformed individuals who are ready to transform to the world system. But be transformed by the renewal of your mind. We are at the time when God is ready, and when gates are ready, the righteous also shall hold, became our righteousness. Righteousness, he made us right with God. And now Job in 17 verse 9, he says, the righteous shall hold on his ways. What are those ways? Those are ways of righteousness. The guidance in discipleship, the guidance of the word of God, is to keep us on the ways of God, on the ways of righteousness. And the Bible says, he that has clean hands, and he will be stronger and stronger. So as you grow, you are growing with strength. The Bible says, as those who know their God shall be strong, shall commit exploits, they shall be strong. God is here to be your strength. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. Jesus Christ came in order to be the strength of God. He came in order for us to march into the gates and carry him there. So that as the heads of the gates are lifting up, we as the children of God are taking the King of Glory in. whatever profession, whatever you are, wherever you are, take him there. And you cannot take him there if the Bible says in the book of Amos, can two go together except they are agreed? So it is very important that our agreement becomes primary. It becomes the precondition for God to take us to every gate. So this morning, as God is ready to pour on us, I was looking at also at the life of Jesus, and I was looking at the life of Samuel. You know, the Bible says, and the child grew, and he gained favor with man, and he gained favor with God. When I look at that scripture, when it comes to Jesus, it is in Luke chapter 2, verse 52. But when it comes to Samuel, it is on 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 26. And I'm looking at similarities. And when I'm looking at the similarities, I say, Lord, if you look at at how Samuel grew, and when he was old, and he was ready now to anoint a king in Israel, he was expressing integrity. He says, who amongst you have I stolen anything? Who amongst you have I this? This did not start in adulthood. That integrity, it started as he was growing. He was growing in the similitude of Christ. He was growing in the same manner and the character of our Lord. May every young person, as you grow, to be planted wherever God wants to plant you, as you grow to be a strong pillar of truth, may God give you favor. May God give me favor with him and with man, so that ultimately I can be a strong pillar. I can be a plant that of righteousness wherever I go. So may God help us. May God be with us in all that we are doing, because he has purposed that we will be with him. We are now going to close. We will pray and close. But as we close, the Bible says, who can ascend to the mount of the Lord? He who have a pure heart and clean hand. I'd like us as young people to look at your heart. Do you have a clean heart? Have you not submitted your life into vanity? Is there anything that needs to be get rid of this morning? Is it a life of worldliness? Life of fornication? In our country, fornication is in many ways. When young people, they want to fornicate, they will say, we are in courtship. And they are bastardizing courtship and in order for them. And you find that this courtship has no end. And you'll find them together. They know we are in courtship. You need to get rid of whatever is against the plan of God. Get rid of anything that is strange in heaven, so that God can plant you as he is opening this gate, so that you can grow in righteousness, so that God can make you a pillar of truth wherever that he has shaped your life. Can we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we are very grateful for your word. Heavenly Father, we are indebted to you. Even at this moment, as we close this session, we submit to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we have prayed. Amen. Over to you, sir.
dwell in me and I can be a pillar of truth at the gates. Thank you so much for bringing us that word this morning. We will move very quickly and take the prayer opera tips. After that, the prayer operas themselves proper will go on site. So all the persons who have been mobilized to do that on site, please get ready. Everyone get your pens and papers or however you take notes, get them ready so that you can note down the items for prayer. To help us with the prayer opera tips, we call on Finda Filakati, all the way from Eswatini, Swaziland. God bless you.
Thank you, shall we?
Father, we continue to look to you for mercy as we come to the moment of prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. May I request that we turn to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1. We are going to read the first 9 verses, which is where we'll be throwing our issues of prayer for this time. The book of Joshua, chapter 1, I read. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, thank you so much. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. 4. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Verse 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Now we are moving to a time of prayer. We want to draw some issues that shall inform our prayers this morning. But please allow me to couple the reference we read from scriptures with the charge and the burden that God brought to us through his son, his servant, when we're opening this meeting on Wednesday. Now, I noticed that the issues that God raised in the charge and the burden are the issues that God confronted even our brothers in past generations with. Now, if you have your program with you, may I request that you turn to the charge and the burden and then we'll draw some ease of prayer using the two reference material. Now, I will first want to draw your attention to the first paragraph. Now, there we have a statement, if I may read. It says, there is a generation that seek the face of the Lord and upon whom he is going to prepossess the gates and in the enemies until they are made his footstool. This army of the Lord are volunteers in the dew of their youth, dressed in holiness and clad with the zeal of the Lord. The Almighty God, our Lord of hosts, the great strategist, has been on a recruitment drive of such young men and women for an intense and concerted training of their lives in discipleship and in their professional career development. Now, I want us to pray again about the issue that God is raising in that first paragraph. And as we do that, I want us to bear in mind the background to the Joshua passage we just read. Now, our brother Joshua, who we are reading about here, a conversation between him and God, we are not meeting him for the first time. Now, when we look into the background of the journeys in the wilderness, we will know or will remember that he has been living in very close association with Moses for about 40 years. Now, those 40 years were times of concerted discipleship with him. Now, it's not arbitrary that now we are meeting Joshua here and the Lord will be commissioning him. There is a background behind the commission that the Lord is giving to our brother. And now, in our case, when God was raising the charge and the burden in the opening, God said, he is raising a young people who he is calling aside for concerted training of their lives in discipleship. Now, I want us to pray on that principle this morning. Now, Joshua is born, and we are the ones on the stage now. Now, if perhaps we could still be able to bring Joshua back, there would be no problem. But God is counting on you, and he is counting on me, to bring revival in this day, to possess the gates of the enemies in our day. And now, this is a principle that we cannot overlook. Now, we'll remember that yesterday, God spoke to us strongly about this matter of discipleship during the discipleship seminar. Now, we prayed or not, but I sense very strongly that we never overpray on this matter. Now, what I want us to pray about is that God will bring it to very clear light to each one of us, even as we are going through this cycle, that each one of us shall come to very clear light and understanding of the need to go for his or her own personal discipleship. So as we'll be praying, I want each one of us to stand before God and be able to say, Lord, please make this issue very clear to me. Not just make it clear to me, but over and above that, give me a heart to pursue my own training. It is God's will that we be trained for this responsibility. Now, if we are going to miss our training, then now we will not be able to stand squarely and be able to face the enemies at the gates. So this is one issue I am sensing God will have us pray about again this morning in our different centers. My own personal understanding of this matter and my own pursuit of discipleship, if I'm going to stand firmly for God and possess the gates that he is sending us to. Now, there is another matter which I'd like to draw from the background to this passage. Now, we will remember from our Bible study yesterday, for instance, that when we were doing the first part, there we met Joshua in Numbers 27. That informs another part of the background to the passage we are just reading. Now, there God said to Moses, when Moses was burdened about God raising a leader who is going to lead his to the enemy, promised land, said it's Joshua who Moses must commission for this responsibility. Now, the basis for his commissioning, God said his spirit is in Joshua. You know, when God was raising that, it again occurred to me that whereas Joshua has gone through a concerted time of training in discipleship, but then now it was imperative, it was necessary that this Joshua and Jude with power from on high. It was going to be the Spirit of God that was going to qualify Joshua for this commission that we are seeing God giving to him at this point in time. So I want us to pray that, as it was the case in Joshua, God provided some good discipleship exposure and experience for him. It shall be the case with you and me. And then the other thing we learned, that this Joshua, who is being commissioned today, at some point in time, he was endued with the Spirit of God. And not just at some point in time, it was going to be his daily affair. He kept pursuing and seeking God for ever fresh endowment with the Spirit of God, because it was by virtue of the Spirit in him that he was going to be successful in carrying out this commission. So as God, even at our point in time, says he is sending us to the gate, God is saying we must go and possess the gates. We know that we are not going to do that in the strength of the arm of the flesh, but it will be by virtue of the Spirit of God filling each one of us full. So I desire that this morning, in our different spaces, we are going to pray on this matter. Cry to God personally, Lord, I am desperate. And Lord, if I will not be endued with your Spirit, with power from on high, I will fail. I will not be able. I will just don't dare go to the gate. And the beautiful thing is, our God is eager. God is very much willing and ready to endue us with his Spirit if we will come, if we will have the right heart disposition, if we will know without the Spirit we can move, and then we'll develop the right hunger. We will develop the right yearning, the right thirst. The Lord said, whosoever is thirsty, let him come and drink. And this morning, God is saying, are you thirsty? Are you hungry for righteousness? Do you want him to equip you with himself? And if you are, and I'm praying that God will make each one of us realize this need, and then we'll raise our voice in prayer. He has said, if we ask, we can know we'll receive. He has said, if we knock, we can know the door will be open to us. So we are coming to the throne of our Father, who is more than ready to endue us with his Spirit. That's another matter I wish to raise with us from this passage. Now, again, when we were looking at the text, which I find to be in this book, that's before us. Now, about 38 years ago or so to this passage, our brother Joshua had been in the company of the spies that went to the gates of the enemy in the promised land. Now, when they were coming back, we'll remember that they said there are giants there. Actually, some of the spies even go to a point where they said, when we look at ourselves against the giants, we were as grasshoppers. And now that instilled some sort of fear in their hearts. Now, when God comes to Joshua this time, he will say to him, do not fear. Now, God knows he is conscious of the giants who are at the gates in the promised land. And as God comes to us even this day, we are dealing with giants which we know in our lands. We have been referring to them from time to time. Now, for instance, I was thinking this morning when I was going through the church and the bedding, that when I was growing up, I went to school, I even went to tertiary, I had never in my life, even once, seen the marijuana plant. I had never seen dacha. But now it's so strange to me that now in this day, almost every child who goes to school will see the marijuana plant in Swaziland, which I find very strange, but that's what's happening now. I mean, that are so readily available. You find them in the streets, quite unlike yesterday. Now, we have our young people dealing with those kind of giants. And then now, I was talking to one young person in our center this morning, and he has started an NGO, and he was telling me about how masturbation, he was telling me about how pornography and how sexual immorality is rife these days. We're even talking about how even our young people in church are also battling with sexual immorality. We have come to a space where it's like it's normal to just go out there, indulge in sexual immorality, confess to God, and then I'll come back, be a praise and worship leader, and again you fall, you keep falling and rising. Now, those are the giants that as young people we are faced with these days. And the enemy knows that if I put sexual immorality, if I put pornography, if I put masturbation, if I put drugs, among others, at the gates, And our young people are victims to that. We cannot possess the gates that God is sending us to possess. Now, I want us to pray on this note. We cannot be victims and be hoping at the same time that we can dispossess the enemy of the gates. We can't be victims of the enemy and then now advance towards the enemy and hope we can dispossess him. I want us to take this matter very, very seriously. Now, it's not in our strength we are to face this giant, but it is in the strength of the Lord. Like we will be praying about the endowment with power from on high. Now, it is by virtue of that seed, as we learned yesterday, there is a seed that overcomes. Now, by virtue of the Spirit of God in filling all of us, then now that is the basis of takeoff. That is to be the strength in us, even to overcome these giants in our own personal spaces, before we can then hope to go and deliver our friends who are also under the clutches, or who are also under the stronghold or under the mastery of these giants. So I want each one of us to be serious about this matter. Now, we might say it's a private affair. People don't know about it. But Satan knows about these things. Satan knows about these things we call our secret failures. Now, we cannot afford to be failing over and over again and hope to be used of God. So I want us to pray. Now, like I'm saying, in the case of Joshua, he was dealing with the giants in the gates or in the promised land. Now, in our day and age, we are dealing with as much giants, if not worse. Now, we are going to pray on that note. Now, we hear God say, even though those giants are there, do not fear. He says, do not fear. You will need to have courage. Now, the courage is emanating from the divine resources embedded in us by virtue of the Spirit of God that will be trusting God to help us with. I want us to note that as well. So those three issues, let's please bear them in mind. And I am betting that this morning, we will have to go to God about these issues. Let's not just look at them casually. Let's sit with them as God is raising them with us. This issue of our personal discipleship. Please trust God for grace to see it clearly and trust God for grace to pursue it with all your heart. Now, if you will be lacking that training, you will not go far in this mandate that the Lord is placing on our lips. And the Spirit of God, you just cannot go without that divine equipment. Pray on that matter. And the giants that plague us all around, God can give you personal victory over them. And God can also help you go and deliver the many others of our colleagues who are held in the clutches of sin. The giants out there, God says, now that you have God in you. Remember yesterday, we were learning from 1 John 4:4 about the one who is in us. Greater is he that is in us than he who is in the world. Now, that is the basis of the courage. That is the basis of the charge, not to fear. Now, I want us to pray and trust God for grace to appropriate those divine resources, first and foremost for our own help. And then now, having been helped in our own personal spaces, we will then now go out to the gate and be able to bring about an exodus of those people out of those gates who are held behind those. Now, the other matter that confronts me from this Joshua passage we have just read, if I may take you to verse 6, please. There God says, be strong and of a good courage, for unto these people shall thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Now, that is the fourth matter that comes to me. That is the fourth pattern that is in my heart this morning as we will be going to a time of prayer. Now, God says to Joshua, it is not just about you, but it's about there's so many others. Now, if the others shall come to acquire their own possession in our day, there will be a Joshua who will have to arise. And in this case, it's you, it's me. Now, the inheritance of so many people depends on your arising. Now, if I was going to say, no, Lord, I will not arise, if this will affect me, that would not be a problem. But the matter that comes to us this morning is our constituencies, our countries shall continue languishing in the tail of Satan if we not arise. The possession of many other people will not come to them if you and me won't arise. We want us to pray on this matter that God would open our eyes to see the plight of the many other people around us who are suffering so long as you are not arising. so long as I am not arising. And I pray that as God causes us to see, there are so many others whose success, there are so many others who are depending on you and me for them to know victory. We will come to see them. And as we see them, God will cause us to take this burden more seriously. Now, when we were starting about Moses yesterday in the Bible study, we were talking about the whole nation of Israel that was languishing in slavery under Pharaoh in Egypt. Now, a Moses had to be available to be sent of God. And if Moses resisted, if Moses had not been discipled himself and had not been capacitated, the Israelites would be there for even much longer. But I thank God that Joshua was ready. I thank God that Moses was ready. And then now their constituencies, their generations were delivered. Now, it is your turn. It is my turn. I pray that God will threaten us with the plight of his people. And we know that this our arising to possess the gates is necessary at a point like this, so that now our nation shall know the revival we have been praying for all this time. Now, those are the four issues that we are drawing from the Joshua passage, and which came strong to me from the charge and the burden, which I still want us to pray over. We have prayed over them, but I honestly feel we can never overpray on these matters. The matter of our own personal training in discipleship, the matter of our own endowment with power from on high, the matter of the giants we are facing in our day. And God says, yes, the giants are there, but I'm equipping you sufficiently by the Holy Spirit to go to the gates and face them. And then now, of course, the responsibility that must lie on the shoulders of you and me concerning the plight of our people. It's not right that our people are suffering and they will continue suffering and until we go. And then now we'll be talking about it from time to time. Now, what the Lord desires as he sends us to the gate at a time like this is that through your hand, is that through your instrumentality and through my instrumentality, revival shall come to our lands and our people shall know freedom. And then now I close this church with a sentence that comes to us from the last but one paragraph in the church. Now God says, this is your personal opportunity to begin to be great before the Lord. The Lord wants you to come in. And then now the paragraph above was saying, you and I, we are stakeholders in this matter. We don't want to be thinking it concerns so-and-so and so-and-so. But each one of us must come to this point of taking personal responsibility and say, I am a stakeholder here. And be able to say, it is God who is giving me this opportunity to begin to be great before him in my day. And then now, as we come to God with that heart, we don't know that by the time we descend this mountain, the Lord will have set us on the right pedal to push us forward. So at this point in time, I will ask to take us back to our sides, and we raise these issues at a very personal level with God. Then now, as God spoke to Joshua then, God is speaking to you and me today. He had been discipled properly. He had been endued with the Holy Spirit. There were chance to face in his face, so to have his face. There was a people who were to receive an inheritance. And so is it the case in our day and our time. So I want us to pray and to make this very personal. And I want you to be hearing God as if he's not speaking to Joshua this time. Put your name there and know that God is giving this charge to you and me. And if we fail to undertake this commission, if we fail to arise, now I hate to say your constituency, your country, your generation, my generation, is going to suffer for yet many more years. And God forbid that that be the case. God forbid that you will be absent and then your people will suffer and my people shall suffer. Shall I hand over back to the coordinator so that we'll go to our different sides and pray over these issues? I thank you.
Pinda, please, all prayer coordinators on all sites, we have 20 minutes to hold God's hand. So let's go for it. Let's raise our prayers. Let's raise our cries. We have 20 minutes.